reading to you from Philippians, the third chapter and the 20th verse. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state unto conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Good evening, my dear listening friend. This again is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Friends, the thing that I really want to impress upon people, that God's looking for soul winners and witnesses. That's why we're on this earth, not just to have a good time, not just to go to church, but to tell others that Jesus is coming. He said, he that don't warn the people when they see the enemy coming, the blood's going to be on our hands. I don't fully understand all of it, but I do know it's serious. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the first chapter of Revelation. Let's begin reading with the fourth verse. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he was made us to be a kingdom, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. We've labeled this tonight, washed in the blood. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever heard that song, Have You Been Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? Friends, this is what's been tearing at my heart. I go to churches and I visit churches and I preach in churches. Many times they don't ever use the songbooks anymore. Those are the messages that the world needs today, to know that Christ's blood can wipe away all of our sins. Well, the effects of the cross remain through the ages, since the time that Jesus went to the cross and to his resurrection. John was placed in exile for his faith in Christ. Long after Calvary, the message of the cross still remains. Now, John reminds seven churches of the cross. His great prophetic work began with the cross and resurrection. Well, churches that forget the cross have lost their message. Many churches today have lost their candlestick and are powerless. What a shame. Oh, it breaks my heart. And what if it breaks my heart, what do you think it does to the Lord who went to the cross for us and died for us? And you know, even Christians today don't seem to have an urgency. Beloved, we are living in the last days. No, I'm not going to put a time on his coming back because I don't know. God the Father knows, but I won't set a time. But preparation for understanding prophecy begins at Calvary. And I read in verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, unto him that loved us." And oh, how I love to quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Many times I've heard said, "Well, those Jews, they took him and they took his life." No, they didn't take his life. Friends, he gave his life. He laid it down freely for you and for me. The cross says God loves us. And that's exactly what he did. Well, you say, "Well, Cecil, I don't know. You know, I've lived a good life. I pay my bills, and I don't beat my dog, and I'm good to my neighbors." Well, that's fine and good. And I go to church, that's good. And I read my Bible, that's good. And I pray, that's good too. But that won't get you into heaven. Oh, no, it won't. You say, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about." Well, the Bible said, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not yourself, it's a gift of God, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if you could say you lived a good life like you explained to me, and you die, and you stand before Peter the Saint at the gate, and he'll say, "Well, let me take a look here and see if your name's in that book of life." But friends, if you could get in by good works, then Jesus died a terrible death unnecessarily. That's right. He would have died a death unnecessarily. Well, again, with John 3:16, when you wonder if God loves you, consider the cross and consider John 3:16. Now, I've told you this before many times in my testimony. The morning I was saved, the thing is, the pastor quoted John 3:16 to me. I said, "Hold it, Pastor. Wait a minute. Hold it." When I was a little boy before my mom died, she used to put my sister on one side and me on the other side. She'd get the old family Bible out, and she'd quote that to us. And I said, "What does that mean, preacher?" And this is what he said, "For God so loved Cecil Mole that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I said, "That's a lie." "What do you mean it's a lie?" "Well, if God loved me so much, why did he take my little sister by death? Why did he take my mom by death? Why did he take my dad by death and have me partially raised with the meanest stepmother that ever lived on this earth? And then I'm an alcoholic. Now I'm losing my family. And you're sitting there telling me God loves me." He said, "That's exactly what I'm saying." Well, you see, I wanted to believe that so bad. And then he quoted something else. He said, "Cecil, God doesn't love your sins, but he loves you a sinner." Boy, that put a new twist on it. God really, really did love Cecil Moe. And I sure was unlovable. I'm like Paul. I thought I was the worst sinner in the whole world. Well, we are washed from our sins by the blood of Christ. Did you know that? It says in Hebrews 9:22, "And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So you see, my friends, if Jesus didn't go on and die on the cross and shed his blood for you and I, there's no way you and I could have got into heaven. But the blood will cleanse us from all sins, 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all," that's A-L-L, all sin. No, not just a few sin, but all sin. That's pretty hard for an alcoholic or It's pretty hard for a drug addict or a homosexual or a lesbian to understand that, but it's true. There's no cross, there's no cleansing. Religious rites have no cleansing power. Now, my nephew said something about the Baptists the other day. Oh, you spend too much on baptism. No, I don't. I do not. I tell people that after they have been saved and their sins are washed in precious blood, then you are to follow the Lord in New Testament baptism. And if you don't, you can still go to heaven, but you're not being obedient. That's right. In obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my son, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So water don't wash away your sins. There's not enough water in the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, or any lake or any other thing else will wash away your sins. The blood of Christ is a divine detergent that makes us clean. Well, you say, moist ones are lifted one. Verse 5 and 6. Let's look at that. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to be to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and forever. We have been lifted from rags to real riches. Do you remember the little old lady, the old widow, that gave her last nickel, last mite? There was rich people in that temple, but she took all that she had that she was going to eat on. And she gave it to Jesus. He said, my stars, these other people gave out of their abundance. But this lady gave of her what she was going to eat. She gave more than all of them put together. We have been exalted from peasants to princesses. These cleansed ones are now fitted for divine service. Now listen, see what God did with a few fishermen. Now, I can't fully understand. You know, he called a fisherman, he called them to follow him and to preach. Well, one night they were out fishing, and these were not novices, these were professional fishermen. Didn't catch a fish. And Jesus said, launch out in the deep. Fish on the other side. Why, they couldn't pull them in, it broke their nets, they had so many fish. But you know, God didn't call us to be fishers of fish. He called us to be fishers of men. Now, he made them the key people in establishing his church. You say, well, Cecil, I don't have any talent. Hey, don't hand me that stuff, mister. If you're born again and you truly repent your sins and your sins under the blood of the Lamb, then you have one talent. That's right. Everybody has one talent that's born again. Well, that's hardly enough to do much. So what do? You reinvest that and go get more. Hey, listen, friends, I wished I could sit here tonight and tell you I'm a great soul winner. I'm not. But, oh, I try so hard because I know that I, too, once was lost, doomed and damned and on the road to hell, and nobody cared. Spoke to 6 different preachers during my alcoholic condition. One was up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I just got out of the pen. Got thrown in there for trying to beat up on a police officer. And I promised the Lord. Now, look at folks. I was not born again. But I knew there was a God. My parents were Christian before they died. So I knew there was a God. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, I know you know I'm a liar. I've told you many things. But this time I'm very serious. If you get me out of prison in the morning, I promise you that I'll go see a preacher somewhere, somehow. Well, God got me out of that prison that morning. Don't ask me how. It was a miracle beyond miracles. And I got in my Buick, and I took off to that church up there in College, Alaska. That's just out of Fairbanks. I don't even know what kind of a church it is. It's not important. All I know is I knocked on the door, and this dear pastor came to the door, and I said, "Preacher, could I come in and see you for a while?" I said, "Sure, come on." He seemed like a compassionate man. And I told him, I said, "I just got out of jail." And I said, "You know what breaks my heart? I promised my wife if her and my three boys would come up to Alaska with me, I'd quit drinking." I said, "Preacher, I meant that from the bottom of my heart. But I broke my promise to her." And then he made the stupidest statement I've ever heard. He said, "How old are you, son?" Well, I said, "I'm 30. What is it? You can't be an alcoholic till at least you're 40, 45. So what did I do? I went out and I celebrated. And I drank and I got drunk. He never said anything about God's love. See, that's what alcoholics need. They don't need AA. They need Jesus. They don't need shots. They need Jesus. That's the only thing an alcoholic needs. See, an alcoholic has no peace. And he has no rhyme or reason to live. But when Jesus came into my heart, immediately I knew I was a new person. Even though I didn't understand it, I knew in my heart I wouldn't drink again. That's been 55 years ago. To God be the praise and the glory. See, when people have been washed in blood, their future is as bright as the promises of God. Have you ever found where God ever broke a promise? Of course you haven't, because he don't do that thing. He doesn't break promises. They have been delivered from the limits of time to eternity. For washed ones, the sky's the limit. Heaven's ahead. Oh, my friends, do you realize what we as Christians got to look forward to? Eternal life in heaven. You know, I told you before, I had a mom, I have a mom, I have a dad, I have two sisters and two brothers in heaven. Now, when Cecil gets up there, the Moes are going to have a reunion. But even before I see my mom and my dad, I want to go up and I want to hug Jesus' neck and say, "Oh, Lord, thank you for doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Nobody else could. Only Jesus did." And I think all of us feel that way. I don't know if I'm scriptural about if he... I'm sure he's going to let us hug him. I'm sure he will. See, washed ones are looking ones. We're looking... Our focus now is on the future. Hey, regrets are behind. And what's ahead? Rewards. You say, "Oh... So old Cecil's working for rewards." Ain't going to happen, my friends. I don't work for rewards. I work for him because he saved me and because he called me. Now, he promises everyone who has been born again will have rewards at the end of life's journey. Now, some people are going to lose rewards because they messed up. Because nobody's perfect. And by the way, someone told me the other day we're looking for a perfect church. I said, "That ain't going to happen. There is no such a thing as a perfect church. There's no perfect preacher. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That is all that I am." Well, the Lord's return is their blessed hope. And I read in Titus 2:13, "Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." We're looking ahead, my friends, not behind. Well, trials here cannot overcome them. Sure, we have trials. I was so disappointed last week, friends. I'll lay it on the... I was so disappointed. I'm a humanitarian ministry, and we give to the poor and the needy, and we help preachers and pastors and evangelists and missionaries. Well, we had made an investment, a pretty sizable investment, so that we could help these preachers over in Africa and over in Korea and also down in Russia. Well, something happened and it didn't come through right away, and I was so disappointed because I wanted to buy... Don't laugh at me. I want to buy 20 scooters, gas scooters, for those pastors there over in Uganda. They have to walk for miles and miles and miles to go and visit their flock and do personal evangelism. Well, I want to do that. Well, I this time I'm not going to be able to do it. Maybe this next month our money will come through. But this is what I love to do, helping our brothers and our sisters in the poor and the needy. And you know what, my friend? Some people say, preachers are just out for money. That's not so. That is not so. I never did charge for a revival. You say, what? No, I never did. If they wanted to pay me a love offering, fine. But I would never set a price. And I still don't do it. Because that's not the way I operate. I don't want to cheapen the gospel. I know there's a lot of money-grabbing con men on TV. I hear them. These healing, I hear them all. Send me $1,000 seed and you're going to be well and you're never going to have any problems. That's such a bull, too. Because the Bible said you will have trials and you will have tribulations. Well, let's tell you what. They look beyond the problems of earth to the promise of Christ's return. And I read in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to that which lies ahead. Let me ask you, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? This washing away of sin comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. Come to Christ tonight and be cleansed. Well, and you say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, have you been witnessing or doing soul winning? Well, you're not a good Christian then. But you can be, because God knows none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect, dear friends, and so I hope I don't make you think I am, because I'm not. But let me ask you this tonight. Would you like to make God happy tonight? Well, before you go to bed tonight, first of all, I want you to thank Him for what He's done for you and tell Him you love Him. If you do, tell Him you love Him. And then you need to say, Lord, give me souls for my hire. Give me holy boldness, because basically we're all cowards. If you're not born again tonight, dear friends, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. Come to Jesus. Let that precious blood wash away all your sins so He can write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Here's a prayer that can change your life, but I don't want you to pray it if you don't mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh God, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart, Lord, and save me and make me a new creature. Help me to live for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and you call 303-471-8534. And I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. But I'll tell you one thing, friends. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
Something happened.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moore. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Pray for my health and pray for my wife as we go to prison this Sunday. Pray that we'll be a blessing, that God will give us precious souls for a hire. Why would I want to be on this earth if I wasn't reaching people for Christ? Well, friends, if I can help you spiritually and you have no one to talk to, you call me at 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll be glad to pay for it. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.